Oh, I wonder what book we're in here this morning. Oh, that's right. It's the book of Exodus. Exodus, please. Chapter 9. Pharaoh and the land of Egypt have thus far experienced 6 different plagues, but he still refuses to let God's people go. Thus, the Lord will intensify his hand of chastening upon Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. Today's plague will be the 7th. It's the first of the last group of 3 plagues prior to that 10th and last plague. Our God is a God of design. We saw that already this morning in our Sunday school hour. But as a God of design, in the first 2 groups of 3, as he will in this group of 3, the first 2 plagues, they contain a warning. With the 3rd plague, there is no warning. God's message to Pharaoh is going to remain the same. Let my people go that they may serve me. Our outline here for the 7th point is we're going to look at God's response, Moses and Aaron's response, and then Pharaoh's response concerning the plague of hail. First of all, let's focus on the Lord's response concerning the plague of hail, beginning now in Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. Exodus 9, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. As with the very first plague, water turning to blood, Exodus 8, chapter 15, and the 4th plague, Exodus 8, verses 20, the flies, here now in the 7th plague, the plague of hail, God commands Moses to rise up early, early in the morning, and then go and stand before Pharaoh, issuing the same command, let my people go, that they may serve me. And again, as with the 1st and 2nd plagues, and then the 3rd and 4th plagues, and then the plagues of the 7th and 8th, they're going to contain a warning. I want you to focus on the I wills. Look at how the first warning comes with I will. Chapter 9, verse 14. God says, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart, upon thy servants, and upon thy people. Why? That they mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. The first plagues in each group, 1st plague, 4th plague, 7th plague, all of them contain a warning. But they not only contain a warning, they also contain whys for these plagues. For example, when we talked about the first plague, why did they have the first plague? Well, chapter 7, verse 17 says this, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. In the 4th plague, chapter 8, verse 22, he says this, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And then here in the 7th plague, chapter 9, verse 14, why the plague? Why the plague? That thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Yet this 7th plague also contains another I will and another why for this plague. Look at verse 15. For now I will stretch out my hand. Why? That I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. God says, I will send plagues. I will stretch out my hand, smiting Pharaoh and the Egyptians with pestilence. Now, this is the very same Hebrew word that was described, that did describe the 5th plague, the plague of Merom. Here we are going to soon discover that this pestilence will come in a form of hail. So this word pestilence can have many, many different meanings. It can be pestilence of all kinds. Whether we're talking about boils or whether we're talking about hail, it can come. Pestilence can come in many different forms. God can bring pestilence into our lives in many different forms. Now, the statement, "and thou shalt be cut off from the earth," that seems to be a reference that not that only Egypt is going to experience this plague, and not the land of Goshen. Verse 26 verifies that. And why else had God permitted these plagues upon Pharaoh? Well, verse 16. "And in every deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." What flaw in Pharaoh was God addressing with this statement, "for this cause I've raised thee up"? Well, no doubt Pharaoh thought himself to be a self-made man. It was by his cunning craftiness, by his human wisdom, by his mighty strength that he had become king of all of Egypt. Now, hearing these words of God from Moses, you would thought he would humble himself to give thanks to the very one who had raised him up to be king. And why had God raised Pharaoh up to be king? Look at the phrases. "For to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." These plagues were for the express purpose to reveal God's power, not Pharaoh's power. They were to reveal God's power, but Pharaoh's pride. The Lord refers to my power and my name, not to Pharaoh's power or Pharaoh's name. What do you suppose happens to those individuals who God raises up to rule over kingdoms, but instead of acknowledging that it was God who raised them up, take all the glory from themselves? What do you suppose happens to their reigns? Well, if you've read any of the Bible, you know it soon comes to an end. And I had you meditate on one such incident in Daniel chapter 4 with King Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to what he says. I'm just going to quote this out of Daniel 4. He's looking out at his kingdom, a kingdom that God had given to him, and he says this: "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the mighty of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Verse 30. We read this morning, and in that very same hour, he went mad. So mad that he began to eat like an oxen, grass in the field. And he did so for 7 years, or until God returned to him his senses. And what did the king do at that time? Listen to these words. "After the 7 years, and God returns to him his senses, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he's able to abase." Verse 37. This is the very reason why I pray for President Trump. Pray that he would show humility and not pride, that the Lord might bless him with another 4 years instead of putting him out to graze. Proverbs 16:18 says it like this: "You know, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Notice your very first purpose on your sheet today: because I know it's God who raises one up to the place of authority, whether he's a husband, whether he's a boss, whether he's a king. I purpose to give praise and glory to him before others whenever I'm raised up. Whenever you are lifted up before others, make sure that you give praise, honor, and glory to God. Now, how had Pharaoh demonstrated his proud spirit? Well, he'd done so by his disobedience. Look at verse 17. Exodus 9, verse 17. As yet exaltest thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. So how had Pharaoh exalted himself above God? Well, he would not submit and obey God's command to let God's people go. Question, how is it that you and I exalt ourselves above the Lord? Every time that we fail to obey God's words, we exalt ourselves above him. We demonstrate a spirit of pride. James 4, 6 and 7 says it like this. But he giveth more grace. Therefore, he saith, God resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All right. The very next verse there in James, he admonishes his readers to do this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Look at your purpose, please, on your sheet. I purpose in humility to submit myself to God by obeying his word, lest he has to resist me because of my pride. He's resisting Pharaoh because of his pride. Now we're at the seventh plague. And because Pharaoh would not humble himself, submit to God's word, the Lord's going to resist him by placing on Egypt another plague. Look at the third, though. I will here in verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. God says, because Pharaoh had exalted himself and not obeying his word, he was going to cause it to rain. And notice this, a very grievous rain. Now, just how grievous will it be? Well, we read here in this verse, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof. Pharaoh would not be able to confuse this storm as one coming from, quote, Mother Nature, or as coming from one of the multiple gods they worship. This was going to be the storm of the what? Century. But let me just remind you this morning, whether you experience the storm of the century, Genesis chapter 7, the flood, or whether it's just a shower, Deuteronomy 11, verse 14, it is all of God. Look at your purpose, please. I purpose to remind myself and others that the weather we experience is ultimately from God. When was the last time someone said something crazy to you like, whoa, Mother Nature is really throwing one at us? Have you really spoke back the truth? Every weather pattern is of God. It's all of God. What's God in control of that we've looked at thus far? Well, there's water, there's frogs, oh, there's some dust and lice, there's pestilence and plague, there's sores, and now we see hail. Though God says, and watch these three I wills, I will send my plague, I will stretch out my hand, and I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail. Did you see his mercy? When was it going to happen? It wouldn't come until tomorrow. I had a chance to repent. God had said to Moses to say these words to Pharaoh, I will, I will, I will. But I'm not going to do it until tomorrow. Repent. But that's not the only mercy God's going to show to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Look at verse 19 through 21. Send now there and gather thy cattle and all thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Watch verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among his servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Oh, but wait a minute. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. James 4, 1 Peter 5. Those who would humble themselves by submitting and obeying God's command, fearing the word of the Lord, believing it would come to pass, would bring their labors, bring their cattle in from the field so that the hail would not kill them. This gives you just a little indication as to the size and to the intensity of the hail which was to come. It wasn't going to bruise them. It was going to kill them. But those who had a spirit of pride and chose not to regard God's word, they would leave their servants and their cattle into the field. That's why I put forth this purpose. Realizing how my spirit of pride can bring great harm to others, I purpose to respond with humility to God's word by obeying it. Every one of those who had servants and animals out in the field and showed a spirit of pride caused great pain to them. When you and I show pride and not humility, it can indeed cause pain and affliction to others. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Realizing my spirit of pride can bring great harm to others, I purpose to respond with humility to God's word. How? By obeying it. All right. We saw God's words. Now let's see how Moses responds to this plague of hail. Look at verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, I want you to stretch forth thy hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man, upon beast, upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. So the Lord, he tells Moses to stretch forth his hand towards heaven. This hailstorm would affect everyone and everything, it says in Egypt. But we're going to read here in a moment, there was an exception. And how does Moses respond to God's command? How should you and I respond to God's command? Look at verse 23. And Moses, he stretched forth his rod towards heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the rain ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Moses, he obeyed. He did his part in stretching forth the rod towards heaven. And then God did his part in sending the thunder, the hail, and the lightning. Here's a lesson that you and I are learning as we read these verses. We're to do our part, knowing that God will do his part. I want you to keep your marker right here in Exodus, because we're going to come back and complete this. But I want to show you an illustration of this in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And you'll note that this is a little problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 I'm turning to. And as Pharaoh struggled with pride, we find here in the church of Corinth, they're struggling with pride. Some are saying, oh, I'm of this leader. I'm of this spiritual leader. All right? But I want you to read, I'm going to read the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what I want to emphasize to you is that we're to do our part like Moses did his part. He raised the rod. God will take care of the rest. Verse 1. And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Talking to Christians. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. How are they carnal? Well, for whereas there's among you envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal? And walk as men? Talking about the unsaved. And for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are co-laborers with the Lord. Whether we are planting, whether we are watering, the word that has been shared in the lives of others, it's God who brings forth life in that individual. We are just to be lifting up the rod and let God bring the hail. Whether it's in judgment or whether it's in life, to give life or to give death, our role is to simply obey as a co-laborer of the Lord. Look at your purpose on your sheet. Because we are co-laborers with God, I purpose to do my part by doing what he tells me to do, trusting he will do the rest. But can God be trusted to do his part? Look at verse 24 here in Exodus chapter 9. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and it brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Can God be trusted? God can. Just as God had warned, it came to pass. It was so grievous that it smote both man and beast, destroying the crops and the foliage. Again, we see this supernatural aspect of this plague, in that the land of Goshen, where the Israelites dwelt, was spared. Look at your purpose. When doubting if God does what he says he will do, I purpose to read again this account of God's plagues upon Egypt. It should verify when God says something is going to happen, it will happen. Well, we've looked at God's response. We've looked at Moses' response. Now let's take a look at Pharaoh's response concerning this plague of hail. Verse 27. And let's read verse 28. And Pharaoh, he called for Moses and Aaron. He said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Finally, true repentance from Pharaoh. Or is it? Well, he calls for Moses and Aaron. He confessed that he has sinned. The Lord is righteous. His people, they're wicked. And then he asks him, he entreats him, pray that the Lord would take away these mighty thunderings, this hail, with the promise that he would let the people go. And how does Moses respond to this plea, this promise? Look at verse 29. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. You see, the Lord, he began his plague with a stretched out hand of Moses back in verse 22. And it's going to cease with a stretched out hand of Moses towards heaven. God's grace, God's mercy is seen in the very fact that this plague would not continue until tomorrow. But the moment that Moses left the city, he spread his arms unto the Lord, it would cease. It's not going to go another night. It's going to go that day, the moment that he left the city. It would happen in this manner. Why? That thou, Pharaoh, mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. Moses would do this because he believed this was what God wanted him to do. He didn't do it because he believed Pharaoh had truly repented. Why do I say that? Look at the next verse. Verse 30. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. Moses does not believe Pharaoh will let God's people go because he does not fear the Lord. Now, had God whispered down into Moses' ear that he had not truly repented? What had been some of the previous signs that Pharaoh had given that indicated that he was not truly repentful? Well, if we went back to chapter 8, verse 25, he'd said this. Well, okay, you can go and worship in the land. But God said they were all to go, not just the men. They were all to go, wives and children, all to go. In chapter 8, verse 28, he'd said, okay, you can go, but only you can't go very far. And yet God had said, no, when you go, I want you to go 3 days' journey. Look here in chapter 9, verse 27. What phrase may have caused Moses to doubt Pharaoh was telling the truth? Think there's true repentance? Pharaoh, why not? What's he say? Well, I've sinned this time. You hadn't sinned previously with all your lies and deceit, Pharaoh? It's only this time that you've sinned? How can you perceive that you or even another fears the Lord? Listen to these words from Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 78 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. You see, those who fear the Lord will hear and heed God's instructions. Pharaoh hadn't done that. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Oh, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward, that is perverse mouth, do I hate, says God. You see, one who fears the Lord, hates what God hates, and loves what God loves, and he does what God says. Look at your purpose. You know what? I purpose to realize that the reason I do not obey the Lord's commandments is because I do not fear my Lord. Now, I want you to see what follows. I didn't ask you to pray that you might fear the Lord more. I purpose to ask God to increase my love for him. Now, why would I do that? Trent read to you that verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:12 this morning. Because if you and I love the Lord more and more, we will keep his commandments. Whereas the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We said that in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33. In other words, look at your purpose. Because fear of God can enhance my wisdom, and wisdom can enhance my fear. I purpose to both study the Word of God and strive to obey the Word of God. Just how bad had the plague of hail been to now cause Pharaoh to beg Moses to pray that it would be stopped? Well, we see it destroyed a number of their crops. Look at verse 31. And the flax and the barley was smitten. Why? Well, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was boiled. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten. Why? For they were not grown up. The barley was in ear. The flax was in bud. And because of that, totally destroyed. The wheat and rye had not destroyed because they had not yet grown up. But look at this purpose. Knowing my rebellion may cause harm to me, to others, to animals, yes, to crops, I purpose to hear and heed the word of God so no chastening comes upon me and the consequences of my sins bring harm to people or things. Now, what happened when Moses went out of the city? Look at verse 33. And Moses, he went out of the city from Pharaoh. He spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders, the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. Just what Moses said would happen did happen. The thunderings, the hail, the rain, it all stopped. Can you imagine in your mind if anybody was watching Moses as he walked out of the city, as he lifted up his arms? Do you think anybody's eyes was upon him to see what would happen? Well, look at verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. He hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Though Pharaoh observed how the rain, the hail, the thundering ceased, the moment that Moses prayed to God, he still refused to fear the Lord of the earth. Instead, we read he hardened his heart. His servants, they hardened their hearts. They followed suit. We should learn, those of us who have leadership positions, we must be careful not to cause others to follow our example of hardening our hearts towards God and His Word. This week, someone spoke to me about a Christian leader, at least a former Christian leader. His name was Joshua Harris. And he was an author of a book on moral purity. He was a pastor of one of these big churches and, divorced his wife after 22 years and is now propagating there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, lesbianism, and et cetera. Now, do you think his fall and the statements that he has made publicly will have any kind of influence on other so-called Christians? And the answer is yes. Yes. All you have to do is read some of the comments that they've made. It's extremely important for us to look at this next purpose and understand this. You know what? I purpose not to express my rebellion against God in the presence of those who are under my authority. Why? Lest they follow my wicked way. Now, it would be wonderful that you wouldn't do it at all. That's the first step. But if you have bent on doing it, then don't do it so others can see you. Because you're going to multiply now your wickedness. Not only in the fact that you're doing it, but now in the fact that you're encouraging others to do it with you. Now, praise God, we saw that there were yet with Pharaoh some servants who didn't follow his footsteps, did they? Because what had they done? Well, they had brought their servants and their cattle and all their animals into shelter prior to the hail. But many, many had followed his wicked ways, that is, Pharaoh's wicked ways. The heart is hardened, as evidenced by the fact that they're not hearing and heeding the word of God. Neither would he let the children of Israel go. Your last purpose for today. You know what? I purpose not to demonstrate a proud and arrogant spirit in hardening my heart. How? As evidenced by not obeying God's word. You say, well, wow, seven times we've heard this thing. Same thing. Is it enough? No, it's not enough. How do I know? Because there's another plague coming. There's another warning coming. So that tells us we need to hear it. Not once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. Seven times is not enough for us. We need to hear it again that we might not sin and harden our hearts in not obeying the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that you would just be with us. Lord, help us this week not to harden our hearts, as evidenced by the way that we refuse to hear and heed your word. Lord, we pray for a humble and meek spirit. We pray for an obedient spirit. Lord, and help us, I pray, to be about doing our work, trusting God to do his work. We thank you, Lord, for the example that Marilyn was for the church of doing what she could do. 80-some years of age, but still doing what she could do, trusting you to do the rest. Oh, Lord, might we follow Marilyn as she followed you. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.